Well, hello. I am lovingly skinny this morning. Happy Valentine's week to you. Was it a good one? That doesn't sound good at all. That Valentine's week sounds horrible. Is everything okay with your marriages out there? Friends, hanging out, girlfriends, boyfriends. It was a good week? It's exciting. I was going through the paper this last week, and lo and behold, on the front page, I'm not sure if you saw this, and for those of you who don't know, a newspaper is like a printed version of what's on your phone. On the front page of said printed paper, I saw a picture of a beautiful couple. I'm like, I recognize those folks. That's Dave and Marie Paulson on the front page. And Dave took out a front page ad in the paper to give a shout out to his wife and how amazing she is with like with Proverbs 31 verses and kind things to say and X's and O's. Dave, you were messing things up for the rest of us. How do you compete with that? Dave is like Jedi level romance. I just sucked, like, compared to this front page. Some people have things taken up to the next level, and some people don't. Let's pray. No. Having a place of being at a place in life where you can recognize and cheer on those who have, he says, 60 plus years. Congratulations, Dave and Marie. I hope you had a fantastic Valentine's. For myself, we often do a family Valentine's thing. And so it's less couple-y and it's a family ordeal. We have fondue. And I totally blew my diet apart. I ate fondue until there was no more fondue. I fonded. And once you've eaten that much fried things and that much chocolate, it wasn't a good week, but I think I balanced out at zero. So this is a zero loss, zero gain week. I'm still on the wagon, everyone. Just thought you might be concerned about that. How do you get on in this world in a loving way when some people in this world just want to see it set on fire? There are those in the world who are just seemingly bent on things not going well and destruction. And the last 2 weeks, we've been going over from 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1 and 1 Peter 2, how to deal with varying types of relationships. Our relationship with God the Father and relationship with spouses in there and relationship with friends. This week, we're looking at relationships with others, either those who you don't know yet or are new to knowing. It's a different level of your faith when you loving someone who loves you is easy. Loving people who don't necessarily love you back is that's where it starts to hit the road, right? You're putting it out there and you don't feel it's going anywhere. If you have a TV just like mine, let's look at 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Let's pray together. Jesus, we ask this morning to hear from you. Thank you for a chance to share from your word. But ultimately, unless we hear from you, there's no point. Lord, speak to each one as they have need within this message series. Lord, and we're just trusting you for the increase because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear what you need to hear. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. When something bad happens to you, immediately that kicks something inside of you where you want to give back in the way that it was dealt to you. I need to show them so that they feel like I felt. They're that carnal, unredeemed, working through part of you can well itself up to want to inflict back what was inflicted upon you. And it's a challenge. We've all dealt with things in life that people weren't necessarily kind. And the question comes up, what do you deserve? What do you deserve? Is God's kingdom built on deserve? Getting your just deserve. I find that this issue of deserve is such a fascinating topic that rolls into I did good, thus good should come out. It was a few Valentine's ago, I want to say maybe 26, 27 Valentine's ago, I was having a hot date with my girlfriend, who later became my fiance, who later became my wife. So it's Valentine's, and what better to do than to cap off a charming evening with myself, which is how I felt that she should feel, than perhaps going to Death by Chocolate. Anyone ever heard of Death by Chocolate? Is there anybody out there who does not have diabetes that has heard of Death by Chocolate? No? Death by Chocolate pretty much sums it up. It's a fantastic experience where you can go die by chocolate. And you're taking in the calories and you're enjoying yourself like, this is going to be a great night. First of all, she got to spend all this time with me. She's blessed right there. Next, we're going to put in some sweet. I'm feeling that maybe some kissy face might be around the corner. And I'm excited about this. This is going to be a great night. And it's just kissy face because we were dating. And so we're not married yet. And so when you're dating and you're a Christian, optimal night is like kissy face. That's as high as that goes. Because you're bound scripturally under a various set of guidelines to know to not be in the bikini zone, so to speak. Which, regrettably, I don't have a bikini zone. I have the parts for a bikini zone, sadly, but I'm trying to get skinnier. So here we go. You stay out of the bikini zone. So I'm home for this night of perhaps some kissy face, chocolate, hanging out. All's good. On my way up to Death by Chocolate, as we're heading towards the door, approached by a homeless person. And I love our street friends. I'm down monthly. We serve our street friends. I know many of you are engaged in night shift and these things as well. On Valentine's, I was not looking forward to seeing one of our street friends. Just being honest. And walking up, Death by Chocolate, and he's like, oh man, you know, we're having a hard time, and there's a story that's going to go with it, and I was at the airport, and I got robbed, and they took my passport, and they took my wallet, and I need to get to Whistler by tomorrow morning. If I don't get to Whistler by tomorrow morning, I've got a job opportunity. Basically, my whole life's going to be ruined unless I get to get up to the... You've heard this story. Okay. It's probably the same one, 26 years later. And so there's part of you where you're like, your compassion kicks in. And you're like, I want to help. Let me finish off this date with my girlfriend, and then I'll come talk with you. So we got this Death by Chocolate, this lovely view, you know, of Kingsway. Nice window seats, looking out at the night and day. And he's standing in front of the window, just looking forlorn. That means sad. And I'm like, this is going to happen. This is happening right now. My night of kissy face has come to a crashing end. Why live at that point, right? And I want to do the right thing. I say, Deb, I'm going to drive you home. I'm going to come back. I'm going to pick up my new friend. I'm going to drive him to Whistler. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. We enjoy our dessert. Trying to eat chocolate in front of a homeless man. It's like, it's all the bad things are all rolling into one. You're like, ah. Okay, we get out. I say, I want to do right by you. I want to help you out. I'm going to drop my girlfriend off. and then I'm going to take you out to Whistler. To which I'm thinking, I deserve good. I'm going the extra mile for this guy. I do not have to do this. I'm under no obligation whatsoever to do this. What do I deserve? Well, he lays into me, well, what do you mean you're going to drive me to Whistler? You don't have to. You're just totally wasting my time. And he lets off on me, and I got a homeless guy at me, and I know tonight I'm not going to get any kissy face, and this sucks. It's like stupid. There's that something inside of you that you want to do right, and you feel you deserve good in repayment. I did this good, thus I deserve this. But you know, is the kingdom of God built on deserve? It's come up to the top recently. It's so good. Give the McDonald's some love. The Bishop and Glenda McDonald are here this morning to... I know he doesn't always come out every week, so I'm thinking he's here to listen to my amazing word from the Lord. And so this issue of deserve has come up. And you say, because we all love the bishop and Glenda and the family, and we know the challenge that they're facing at this time, and it's come up. Does someone deserve something bad to happen? No, it's not deserved. And you'd be the first, you know, to... But that's just not how the kingdom works. Because it rains on the just, and it rains on the sinner. And the sun shines on those who do right, and the sun shines on those who do wrong. And the kingdom isn't built on deserve. And so immediately, the first thing that you must work out of yourself is this idea of, I deserve this. I deserve good. While we were still sinners, Christ came, laid down his life for you, for me. You know Jesus loves you? You know that? Just hang on. You know that Jesus actually loves you? And he, coming from heaven so that you could have that eternal and abundant life, we didn't deserve it. But he gave it anyway. And your classic John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it anyways. And I never want to be caught in this deserve game with the Lord. What do I deserve? And when you're dealing with somebody who's not in faith yet or sorting through things, the idea of if you're treated poorly, sometimes you got to eat a big steaming bowl of poop, and that's how life goes. And you just hunker down, and you get a big spoon, and you dig in deep, and you eat it. Not because you like the taste of it, but because that's how it goes sometimes. What do you deserve? God's kingdom doesn't work on deserve. Everyone said amen? It's half-hearted. Let's see if we can get better. Moving our way through this idea of deserve. Do you think I deserve to be given this Olympian physique by the Lord? No. I don't even work at it. And this is what the Lord chose to bestow upon me. And I feel like I've just taken one for the team. And I'm like, Lord, why me? Why did you give me this amazing Olympian body? But he said, this is your burden to bear, my son. It's not the way deserve works. You get, we're thankful for the things that come in. We know that trials produce what? Perseverance. Perseverance produces what? Character. Character produces what? Hope. Anyone read their Bible in the last little bit here? I'll go through again. Trials produce what? Perseverance. Thank you. Okay. God bless you. Perseverance produces what? Character. Thank you. We're getting warmer. Character produces what? So sometimes these trials, these things that come at you, aren't because you deserve them. They're because they're growing you. And that it's a more mature view than just, oh, I don't deserve that. There's a whole lot of things we don't deserve, but that's just how it goes. Moving along. 1 Peter 3:13 and 14. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. An immature point of view is that if I do good, there will always be winners, winners and winners. It is a more mature point of view to say, even when I do good, sometimes there's no winning. I generally like to think of myself as an optimistic person and have a positive, let's shoot for the win, let's see how many winner. But there are some times where there are winners and compromises, and there is trade-offs, and it doesn't work out so good. 2016, a couple years back, do you guys remember Harambe? Harambe the gorilla, Cincinnati Zoo. Harambe's doing what Harambe does. He's gorilla-ing in the gorilla exhibit. And lo and behold, a 3-4-year-old boy climbs over the safety fence, through all the safety stuff, scales down 15-20-foot wall that not even the gorilla can climb, ends himself up in the gorilla pen. Harambe. And so Harambe is like, he's excited. He's got a new plaything. This is exciting. He grabs the boy by the foot, and he's running around the gorilla pen like, you know, he's having a great old time. In this situation, is it possible, do you get angry at the gorilla? Anyone? Do you get angry at the gorilla for being a gorilla, doing gorilla stuff? Because it's in his nature to do gorilla stuff. Do you get angry when something is working in its nature? Do you get angry when something is working in its nature? The nature of that gorilla, he's just doing what gorillas do. This little guy, 3-4-year-old kid. Are you angry at the kid for doing what 3-4-year-old kids do? I've lost my kids, honestly, more times than I can shake a stick at. I've lost them in the mall, stores, parks. Yeah, they show up. They keep coming back. But I had 4, and supposing I still had 3 left. So, but honestly, I've lost those kids so many times, and they return all the time. So the parent in this story, I'm like, oh, man, that's me. Like, I've lost my kids. Don't look at me all like, outside of if you have a new baby, you've lost your kid too. So I can't really come down too hard on the parent. I can't come down too hard on the kid. I can't come too hard on the gorilla. Everyone's just kind of doing life. These things happen. But do you get angry when something is exhibiting its nature? Because I believe on a Bible level, my nature, I was born in sin, I was shaped in iniquity, and that nature, when someone exhibits it, I say, they're just exhibiting the nature. Until those things about you get redeemed and transformed by the goodness of God, that nature, it is what it is. When someone comes at you with slander or says some harsh thing about you or treats you poorly, and you're like, what? Are you shocked? Does it anger you when the gorilla like wants to play I love me, I love you not with a kid? Like you shouldn't be shocked. Enter the zookeeper. Zookeeper comes on the scene. People are freaking out. The kid's with Harambe. Harambe's like, woo! Scary scene. Zookeeper has to prioritize. Zookeeper says, if I shoot the gorilla, the child will be saved. If I tranquilize the gorilla might fall onto the kid and they'll drown in the moat. So do I want that on everyone's Instagram feed, watching a child be drowned by a gorilla? So you're like, man, this is like one bad scenario after the next. And sometimes these are the way things go in real life. You're like, there's not an optimal outcome to this, because when two natures collide, you have a redeemed part fighting against an unredeemed part, and sometimes it doesn't work out so hot. And we can appreciate that with our own life examples. The zookeeper has to decide, what should I do? The zookeeper chooses shoot the gorilla, shoots the gorilla, gorilla falls away, child saved. Well, of course, you can't win, because then you're going to be dragged through until today. You're going to keep being dragged through the papers. You're the guy who shot the gorilla. It's like, who wants to be the guy who shot the gorilla? Nobody wants to be the guy who shot the gorilla. Why'd you let the kid do the thing? I looked away for a second. It happens to all of us. There's no winning the scenario. And looking for the win can sometimes just make you angry. When something is working within its nature, it's like being angry at a hurricane. You can't be angry at a hurricane. It's just doing what a hurricane does. But sometimes our expectations really elevate up. They did that on purpose. You know, they just did it out of spite. They said those things because they're malicious. They said those things, you know, just to get me. Maybe they were just working in their nature because they're not redeemed yet. In dealing with people, sometimes you've got to go that next Jesus level, the being the one that's the forgiver, being the one that's turning the other cheek. And it's not easy. And so the plight that we're in is how to deal with these Harambe no-win situations. Sometimes it's not possible to come out with that kind of W, but this is the life we're in. We've got to go with it. 1 Peter 3, 15-17. Whoa. That was awesome. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I'm going to come back to this. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, being ready to answer with respect is very challenging in our culture. Our culture loves some sensational things. And just regular life is boring. That's why you can't trust what people's Instagram feeds say, because they don't tell you about, and today I made my bed. No one cares. Today I made my bed and I found $1,000. You'll find all sorts of nonsense. It's ridiculous. It's all sensational. In this part of life, sensational, it's hard to deal with people and respect. There's a lady recently, we're having this measles outbreak in Vancouver and Washington State. And this poor woman, for whatever possessed her to do it, she's part of an anti-vaccination group. I'm not saying one way or another. You choose what you choose. There it is. She's part of an anti-vaccination group, and she chose to post on Facebook, "I'm really concerned about my child getting measles. Does anyone have any input for how I can prevent my kid from getting measles?" And the internet, the internet does what the internet does. And it's like throwing gasoline on a fire. And answering with respect is not something that the internet is known for. Answers came for the woman. The best thing that you can do for that child is to give it up for adoption. Why did you ask? Why did you ask them? Why did you post that? Measles isn't that child's biggest concern. A parent who gets medical advice from Facebook is the child's biggest concern. oh. And they just lambasted her. And whether you agree, vaccination, not vaccination, isn't the point of this. The dealing with somebody in a way that we all have these varying different ideas about different stuff in life. And how do you get on in a way that is respectful and gentle? Can we flip it back to that last slide? How do you get on in a way that is gentle and respectful? Is it possible to be loving, gentle, and respectful all at the same time? Please tell me you have an answer. Is it possible to be loving and gentle and respectful all at the same time? Absolutely. And so coming at somebody with respect and gentleness is often a far superior approach than spewing venom. Someone else posted, have you considered posting a picture to Facebook? And for every like it gets, Bill Gates will donate $1 million to medical research. Maybe then we can invent a way to prevent the spread of this disease. Oh, wait. There it does. It's called a vaccine. And we look at that, and of course you go, why? Why did you say that? But sometimes you're the one, it's already come out of your lips. And people are looking for ways to deal with you with love and gentleness and respect. And you, our mission, our goal in the furthering of the gospel and Jesus' kingdom is to let someone know that you're loved right where you're at. And you might have hang-ups. If that's not Jesus, you better turn it off. That wasn't very kind. I apologize, person with the ringer. I'm not a good person. I never claimed that part. Love and respect. 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 It's way easier to deal with sarcasm than in a loving and respectful fashion. So what do? I was watching that documentary recently on Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers was saying, we're teaching... Great, everybody's a comedian. It's so good. And they're laying into poor Mr. Rogers because he's teaching kids that they're special and each one is unique and great the way they are. And there's people picketing, you're teaching kids to be entitled. You can't win sometimes, but it's your job. You're not looking for the win. You're not looking for, I beat you. This is a conversation of, and now I sit on top. We're looking to build the kingdom of God in an atmosphere of care, of love, and it becomes your obligation to not be focused on what you deserve. But Jesus, how can I move the kingdom forward? Why don't you stand? We're going to pray. You know that the Lord absolutely, wholeheartedly loves you and died for you. With that kind of love and care, let's live lives worthy of reflecting that same love, that same care to people. I don't want to pray for you. Everyone struggles in different ways. Don't hear any condemnation. We're all working through this life thing together. But I want to pray for you now. That whatever, wherever you're at, that the Lord's going to bump you up a new spot in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for each of my friends who've taken the time out of their day to come and worship you and hear from your word. Lord, bless each one with whatever they need to round out their faith. Lord, for those who are away from you, let them know how much they are loved and that you have a good plan and that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Lord, for those that are struggling in this area of being more loving, gentle, kind, Lord, just assure them again and again that they are loved. Everyone has value. Lord, that we would see the kingdom grow and that we would be known because of our love. Help us be that, we ask, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.